One baby to another says I'm lucky to meet you. I don't care what you think, this is about me. It is now my duty to completely drain you. I travel through to end up in your affection. Shouldn't you feel passing back and forth in a passionate kiss from my mouth beyond? Welcome to an all-new episode of the Grunt Free Press Podcast, episode 244, which may just seem like a random number to the average layperson, but behind the scenes, big milestone. I've moved on to a brand new notebook, and let's say, we'll just go with it and say that that's been the problem recently. That's why the show and my life in general has been such a mess. Cluttered notebook, cluttered mind, as the old saying goes. So, you know, we got a fresh start here, and let's make some magic happen. Ready? I've got fucking nothing. Go to www.gruntfreepress.com to see what I mean. That place is a fucking dump. Or email podcast@gruntfreepress.com. See what happens when you do that. The last person who tried doing that ended up in an insane asylum. smearing the words. It's kind of like Dark Souls all over the walls with his own shit. PSA, don't forget to update your web browser. I've been struggling with mine for the longest fucking time. Just trying to go online. It's like everything's all fucked up. I think it's the web browsers. That's like the dumbest fucking technology war that people fight over. You know, you get your console wars, your whatever, consoles versus PC, iPhone versus Android, Steve Irwin versus Stingray. Those are all pretty dumb and just come down to like what you're familiar with, or maybe, you know, whatever, maybe like one of those has certain things of like features that you use more than others that, you know, other, the rival fucking brand or whatever doesn't have. Maybe one actually does like a little like objectively better, you know, camera or fucking software or whatever. But somebody else might not use that and not give a shit, you know, about what's important to you. But whatever, you know, people like what they like. I don't give a shit. But the stupidest shit is people arguing about what web browser is better. And this does happen. I've seen this happen. You know, I've always used like pretty much whatever comes pre-installed on whatever device I'm using. Don't really fucking think about it. It just is what it is. It's fucking, you know, if I'm on like a Windows PC, it's Microsoft Edge or whatever. Like that's what's pre-installed there. You know, it used to be Internet Explorer back in the day because I'm old, you know, everything used to come with fucking Internet Explorer. You know, then on my phone, on my Android phone, it's just, you know, it's Chrome. Like Google Chrome was installed, so I use that on my fucking phone. It doesn't fucking matter. They're not really that different or like difficult to figure out what's going on. But you've got people like, you know, you tell them, it's like, oh, what do you use for a browser? It's like, first off, who fucking cares? But it's like fucking on my computer. It's like, yeah, I use fucking Microsoft Edge. It's just there. Like, I'm not going to fucking install shit. I don't have to or whatever. And, you know, then they're like, oh, dude, you use fucking Microsoft Edge, dude. That's like a piece of shit. It's not, or, you know, you get like fucking, oh, don't use Chrome. That's not secure. You know, they log all your data. Google's like storing your data in the cloud and all this shit. It's like, oh, you have to use like Firefox or Safari or some bullshit. You know, it's like, oh, those ones load pages 3.7% faster and they free up to 3 kilobytes of RAM on your PC and whatever. I've tried using, like, I've heard, again, stupid shit that people argue about, and I'll hear that and I'll try using like one of these weird, like third party fucking random ass browsers. It usually it's like, well, this is just functionally the exact same as everything else, except you have to download them from like an outside source. And I mean, not so much. And again, I'll emphasize that I'm fucking old, but it probably isn't the case so much anymore. But you know, it used to be like, you know, you download them from, you search for Fire, it's like, I want to download Firefox. So you go into Google or something, type Firefox browser. And, it, you know, there'd be like half a dozen virus-y, like, clone websites trying to, like, trick you into downloading malware or adware and shit like that, you know. It's fucking, it's like, oh, yeah, Firefox is great. Download it from, like, CNET or whatever. And then, like, you go to CNET, and if you don't uncheck the right boxes, or you just downloaded some garbage where it's fucking, oh, it installed a bunch of shit that you didn't want, and, you know, it's fucking, like, keyloggers and shit like that. Yeah, not so much anymore. I realize it's not 1998, still, but, those memories of like, you know, doing that, trying it, it's like, oh, cool, I get a virus. It's like fucking like, yeah, well, why was I doing that again? And not just using the shit that came with it. That was fine. You know, then you run into web pages or videos that just won't work or load. You have those other ones like Firefox or whatever the fuck the other ones are. So it's like, oh, well, this isn't compatible with, you know, the browser's not compatible with it or something, or some fucking whatever super nerd fucking web browser you're using that like 1,500 people in the world use. And yet, like, fuckers, oh, well, you need, you know, this, you should download this extension for it, and this plugin, of course. And, you know, if that's, you know, it's like, whatever. Again, if that shit works for you, great. But, yeah, I've been using what came on my computer, like Microsoft Edge and Internet Explorer before that. Minimal problems. And I say minimal, because there was always like some funky shit going on every now and again. But it would just be so random and specific. I would just kind of like deal with it. Like, I don't know, just like some weird shit happened, but I don't know. I guess I could like this something's up with the something's not compatible. Yeah, something's not compatible with this or something, or just a weird bug in the browser. Fine. I mean, I'll fucking reload it and try again, or not use it, this fucking thing. like for a while there, I'd open up like my favorites bar, and it would continuously scroll through all of them, just fucking like nonstop, just like scrolling, wouldn't stop, and like I couldn't like move it. That actually happened across like two different computers. Like I switched to like a new computer, and just, you know, you import all your favorites and all that shit, and all like your data from Windows and fucking, you know, Edge and all that shit to like the other computer. And I switched, and it's fucking like, oh, cool, at least these, you know, I'm still one of those shitty problems where my fucking favorites are scrolling and shit. And then it's fucking, it's like, oh, still doing it. It's the same fucking thing. So, I'd fucking, like, unplug everything, like, all the USB shit from my computer, like, the mouse, the keyboard, headphone, anything, like, connected by USB. And if I did that, it would stop for a while. You know, I'd plug it back in. It's like, okay, it seems fine. Then it would start doing it again. So I try like restarting the computer completely, and like sometimes that would fix it, sometimes it wouldn't. I thought I figured it out permanently, like nailed it down that it was happening, because I think it was because I had like a controller plugged in. Like anytime you have a controller plugged in, because you can navigate Windows 10 almost completely with a controller. If you were so inclined to do that, I don't know why anybody would want to do that, but. I'd always have my controller like plugged in. It'd be on like a table, and there'd be like a cord or something, like pulling on one of the sticks a little bit to the side. And that, I think that's what would cause everything to just go nuts. Cause I thought of you were trying to scroll through like the analog sticks pushed down. So you're just trying to like scroll through all your shit, and like all whatever the fuck windows, like tiles and all that shit, like trying to like move wherever the sticks fucking like, tilted towards, you know? So, that might have been a case of retarded human error, like what that problem was. Just like, yeah, you probably shouldn't, you know, have fucking shit on your control sticks while you're in on the fucking internet or on the computer. But then there would be other shit, like every time I would work on my website, it was as seldomly as that happens. It happens occasionally. You know, it's just like a website builder. It's all widgets and elements, and you're dragging and dropping just this shit around. Boxes, you know, there's fucking there's boxes that you're clicking on and drag them here and fucking open them up and that shit. And, whenever I change something, the screen would just, like, freak out and, like, drop. Like, it just completely, like, drop. You know, in the middle of the page, I'd put like, a new element in or whatever, and the whole website would just scroll all the way down to the bottom and, like, stay there. I'd have to scroll back up and go to where I was. So that was definitely a pain in the ass. So in that case, I actually switched over to like Internet Explorer to work on it. Like it'd be like, all right, just go to like tools and other, like open with Internet Explorer, like old school, like fucking shit, like an older fucking browser. And like that seemed to fix it. But it was really like just that. I mean, it was like the little problems that would happen. Like that's the one that I'm like, this sucked. I just have to switch over to Internet Explorer every time I'm fucking working on the website. But it wasn't worth like switching over to something else completely and just being like, fucking, well, I'm just going to abandon all this shit and switch to like just use Chrome or whatever. Yeah, I have nothing against Chrome. It's just fucking like, it was, I don't know, you know, I just don't want to do it. You know, do that for a website that I update like once every 5 years as my current schedule is going. But then I started seeing like messages. I'd be on other websites. I'd be on like Restream. I get these pop-up messages saying that I needed to update my browser. But then it would say like, it'd give you like links for, it's like, hey, here's how you get the newest version of like Chrome and Safari and like Firefox, but no Edge. The most talented member of U2, he wasn't on there. So, I thought it was just like a compatibility thing with like Restream, maybe like the site was checking for, you know, you log on, the site's checking for the latest versions of like those browsers that it's showing you. And it didn't like detect, it's like, oh, well, we don't know what this is, like the Edge or whatever is like not in that check. You know what I mean? So, Now they gave me this message because, oh, you're not, like, you don't have like this, what we're checking that against is of these fucking versions of different browsers. There's no edge period. So, oh, here's your pop up. But I just close it and it would work fine. Like, no problem with like a restream, but I just kept seeing that fucking thing. And you'd figure, and I've fallen into this trap before with Windows. It seems like it's up, like Windows is like updating itself all the time. So it's like, I'm not really worried. It was like, I never worry about updating shit on my own until I have to. I'm like, I'm usually not worried. It's like, that shit fucking yesterday, just fucking shut it down. It up like the entire system updated and, you know, I'm not worried about anything being out of date until, again, I've run into it before where it's like, with the shit just isn't working. It's like, oh, this shit's not updated, or, you know, it's not like up to date. Like my web browser. So yeah, I totally had to update my shit. Microsoft Edge is a completely different thing now. It's a new logo. When you download it, it even says like, oh, now we use the same technology as Google Chrome. So it's basically fucking Chrome anyway, which is the same as any other fucking web browser anyway. So doing that, like updating it, definitely fixed a lot of the niggling little issues I was having. You know, that was just a long, boring story to remind you of how stupid everything is, and to update your web browser every few years. This is some cutting edge technology news we got going on here. I hear there's going to be a big web browser exposition and question and answer presentation of this year's E3. So book your tickets now. I think it's going to be, I think the presentations are going to go a little something like this. So no E3 this year on account of a little ancient Chinese secret, or no physical E3 show anyway. Now they're talking about everyone doing a Nintendo Direct style pre-recorded video or something like that. And that's kind of always been the way these trade shows have been going anyway. You know, it's just kind of all going into like pre-recorded videos that they're just showing in front of people. That's like half, like most of it anyway. And all the other shit people just make fun of. So, why the fuck do they bother renting booth space and choreographing these like multi-hour presentations? I don't know. They're always fucking awful. Everybody just fucking makes fun of them anyway. You can say it's fucking, they do it for the fans or whatever, for the fans to come out and get together. I've never been to an E3 myself. I mean, I've been to a PAX East once. And that was a fucking nightmare. I mean, just like long lines and being packed into a little fucking rooms and corridors like cattle. And if you're just a schlub regular fan and don't have some kind of like special connections or credentials or like press passes or whatever, you're not going to fucking see anything new there anyway. You know, all the shit you're seeing there, you can just read about online rather than wait in line for 2 hours to see some little like 5-minute presentation. You can just go online and get the same exact information. You can just do that in the comfort of your own home and not worrying about contracting military grade biological weapons in the meantime. Any year that was a possibility, not just this year. But I have a feeling we're not going to get out of it. We're not going to get out of the E3 shit that easily. I've been doing this for a while. You know, E3 is always a mixture of like excitement because you get to see like the game announcements, like new games being announced for the first time. But it's usually not like really the first time because everything gets leaked weeks in advance anyway. Then all the audiences are just full of like audience plants, either like actors or whatever companies whoever's presentation it is, like they have like their own employees in there in the audience, or just like fanboys, you know, and they fucking come all over themselves over the fucking smallest, stupidest shit that's announced. You know, then you get the fucking journalists with their own biases who are just as bad, and they're, you know, they gotta kill time with even like stupider shit as they do in the fucking shows. And then by the end of it, you think like, what the hell did I just watch? And then, you know, everything that was announced there anyway gets fucking delayed or canceled, or, even when it does come out, people complain that what was shown at the show was deceptive, and the game came out, it was downgraded. Yeah, it's just a whole lot of fucking misery that would be better presented as like announcements and like standalone videos to spread it out throughout the year anyway. Again, I don't know why I really need the fucking E3 physical fucking conferences and all that shit. Now, if you'll excuse me, I've got to help myself to a nice piping hot cup of bat soup. The fur really adds some nice texture to it. So Beautiful Desolation is a video game I played quite a bit of this week. It's that point-and-click adventure game that's very hard to discuss in detail because the bulk of the gameplay is literally just pointing and clicking. And normally, with an adventure game, a lot of adventure games, as they call them, point-and-click adventures, you just go and do like a set series of things to advance the story. So that'd leave, I could just sit here and talk about the narrative, like the story of Beautiful Desolation. But the point of this game is you're just kind of like thrown into like this strange alien world, and you're figuring things out as you go. And the point of it is it's supposed to be really abstract and like alien and shit. So, and it is, it's hard to like figure out, hard to talk about. You don't really know. You just fucking okay, I guess I'm doing shit to like advance to the next thing, but I can't really tell you like what the hell everything is about that I just did. But it is beautiful. You have to give it that. It's beautiful, like Disco Elysium, without all the political gayness infecting it, or abstract, overwrought gameplay systems. Beautiful Desolation is actually relaxing to play, to a point, and a click. I will get stuck as I'm playing it sometimes because you're constantly traveling back and forth to locations you've already visited with, you get like a new inventory item, or you advance to like a new conversation or whatever. So it's like, well, now I have to, don't know what I'm doing. So I got to just travel back to places I've already been and figure out what the next step is. Like that'll open up dialogue with somebody that you've already spoken to. And nothing's like explicit about what you're supposed to do. I mean, the main quest, as far as I can tell, what you're doing in the main quest is you're like assembling parts for this antenna relay. What that is or why you're doing it, I couldn't tell you, but there's like three parts that you need. And most of the conversations that you have revolve around like getting those parts. So, I mean, they must be important, you know what I mean? I'm going for these antenna parts, that's what everything's about that I'm doing. Again, don't know why the fuck I'm doing it, but, so you need, like, red mercury, a tear, and something else. I don't think a tear is actually like a tear, like a teardrop. I think it's like a tear, like a tear in like the time and space type of tear, tearing a fucking piece of paper. But good luck figuring out really what those are and how you get them. I mean, it's just fucking, again, it's just this abstract thing where it's just you're just doing shit. And then it's like, oh yeah, now you have a fucking tear. You know what I mean? You can take. So the gameplay loop really is just go to every area and click around and moving your dude around the map. I call him Dude because he looks like Jeff Bridges from The Big Lebowski. And, you just kind of click on everything that's highlighted. The difficulty, kind of, if you want, the fucking the challenge of it, like the gameplay of it, it comes from how easy the thing that you're looking for is to see or not, like how well it pops out. So as you're walking around, there are these codex pages or just like journal entries, pretty much that are shown in the game as these book icons, and I mean those kind of like stick out like a sore thumb. You can just see them immediately. It's just like this highlighted book thing, you get those. Those are usually just like sketches, like whatever concept art or whatever, like sketches of the area that you're in. There were a couple instances where you pick up the journal entries, like the codexes, and fucking those would be like part of like a puzzle solution. You know, it's like, oh, the symbols on this page, you have to like copy to whatever I was talking about earlier last week, where you just match it up like the symbols on the fucking page and plugging them into like a computer or something like that. So, you know, you have to like look at them still. I'm glad I looked at them and picked those out and noticed the symbols on there. Because if I was just like, that's all fucking just bonus art material anyway, it's not important, it's just fucking concept art. You know, I mean, 99% of it is, and if I stopped opening it and looking at the pages I picked up, I probably would have been stuck at some parts for a while, you know, so it's like fucking you're picking them up and you do have to kind of check them. Then if there are NPCs to talk to, there's like a dialogue bubble over their head, and, you know, those are pretty easy to spot too, but if you're not really paying attention to what the character is asking you to do for him, like, he's giving you like a task to do, and that's kind of like your next like thing, you know, your next like progression, you know, that like your main thing to get the fucking antenna parts. Like, oh, this guy wants me to do something for him. Yeah, it's just like incredibly easy to lose like all sense of like the plot and the tasks that you're doing. Since you're dealing with like these nonsense fucking shit, like nonsense creatures, nonsense names, and like these fetch quests that you have no idea like what they're asking you to fetch. Like, hey, you know, go get the Narlock from the fucking Garkor and install it in the Bebop or whatever. And it might be a while before you figure out what the fuck that was. It's like, oh, okay, I picked something up. I found the fucking Garkor. Okay, now I know what they're talking about. But, Then you know, you have to fucking remember to return to the guy who gave you that quest in the first place, right? As you're fucking like finding all this other nonsense shit, and you probably started like three more fucking tasks in the meantime before you picked up, you know, you picked up some other shit from other nonsense people. So even when you're sure you've like cleared an area of like, hey, there's nothing else highlighted, I've talked to everybody, I picked everything up that I could here, you might still have to go back to it later, and like something new will pop up, like a new dialogue or something that you couldn't interact with before will suddenly have like a prompt on it that you can, because you have something in your inventory you can use. And it's not like too bad in that sense, but it is like pixel hunting, but you learn fairly quick that is the game. Like, it's just like you got to be like pixel hunting, and it's clicking on everything until you run out of shit to click on. That's what you got to be doing. So, you know, you kind of develop a system of how to explore each area that you enter. And I know that sounds kind of like mechanical and autistic and not very fun, but the good bits of the game come from the fact that the world that you're in is just, it's at least like creative, and it's interesting to do that, like to explore and to talk to people and all that shit. Even when it doesn't make sense by design, where there's, you know, it's like, oh, some alien weird shit, like here you go. As you're playing and you're like returning to these settlements and talking to different tribes and like races and shit that have like, it's like, okay, well, these, you know, these guys I talked to over here in the East have like a feud and a history with this other fucking civilization in the West. And, you know, it starts to like make sense like that. And you start like getting things start like coming together. It starts making some kind of logical sense. Either that, or you start to just, you're going crazy yourself and you just kind of accept the David Lynchian logic to everything. I mean, you come across this sort of like prehistoric tribe, and the guard there won't let you into the main settlement until you get him this herb for his people, my people, that is, they want this herb because they smoke it to communicate with their ancestors, or they just get really high and think they do or whatever. So yeah, you know, you're on this like quest or whatever to go get him the herb. And, you know, it's like this 8-step process that sends you all over the fucking place. And, you know, then he lets you inside and you speak to the tribe's leader, and they have some beef with this other culture that's closed off from the rest of the world behind this big bubble energy shield thing. And they won't let anybody in there. So it's like, all right, so you have to go there and speak with their fucking leader or whatever. And they want you to pass some fucking trial to prove that you're part of the chosen people or something. So, you know, so it's fine. Again, it's just fucking like, here's a task over here. All right, sends you somewhere else. Well, they gave you another task, and you're still kind of trying to figure out what the fuck, like what you're doing in the first place. But after a while, it makes a little bit of sense. So, When you finally do get past the shield wall, it's like, okay, so you see that these guys have, like, the original fucking tribes people are there as slaves, and they're all keeping them high on these, on those herbs there to keep them working and whatever, so they won't rebel. Then from there, it's like, you know, you have the option of, like, you know, who do you want to side with? Like, which tribe or whatever do you want to side with and help out? Or do you want to fucking, you know, the other people that you tell the fucking prehistoric guys they're being kept as slaves and fucking they'll go and attack the camp now that the fucking wall's down, or do you side with the other people, you know? But you have, like, choices. Like, there is some, there is some kind of game there, some, like, player agency, you know, besides just fucking advancing the story, like, linearly of, like, oh, you gotta do these tasks and fucking plug fucking item A into slot B or whatever. Well, you want it in slot A, I guess, if you're a faggot. It's not just like clicking around until you find, it's not like just click around until everything's like checked off and the game ends. Like, there is some kind of like variation. Like, you probably replay it and do different things and have different outcomes. And then there's a couple mini games you have to play, which I think look a lot cooler than they actually are when you play them. The first one you do for that fucking stoner tribe, they have this tradition where they put two of these scorpion looking creatures into a cage, and they have them fight to the death. And, you know, there's some spiritual mumbo jumbo about the fucking scorpions possessing the souls of their ancestors, and the ones that die in battle can be reincarnated and come back. But it's just fucking scorpions fighting each other. In the gameplay, it's actually you're just fucking rolling a pair of dice. It's just like a dice game. You know, you're facing off against the other guy, and you're just taking turns rolling a pair of dice, and the higher number wins. So that's like a rounded, like the winner, whoever rolls the highest number does a point of damage to the other person's scorpion for the round, and then you have to win, you know, they have like five hit points or whatever, so you just have to win five rounds to kill this. It's just roll the higher number five times, that's pretty much it. They try to like vary it up by having these like modifiers you can use, these bones. Again, it's just kind of like mystical shit. It's fucking, it's okay, there's these magic bones you can throw down on the table, but there's only like three of them you can use for the entire game. So give these three fucking power ups or whatever bones you can fucking throw, so one of them is like, hey, you can re-roll if you lose. If you lose the round, you can re-roll it. Another one gives you like a guaranteed 12, you know, double sixes, the highest you can get. And then another one gives your opponent a guaranteed 2, snake eyes or fucking scorpion eyes. Do scorpions have eyes? I don't know. They have more than two. I honestly don't know. But, the thing with that, I mean, those three special abilities that you're using, you can use during the game. It's like your opponent has the same shit too. It's like you can use the same fucking three fucking modifiers or whatever. So they pretty much like cancel each other out. So it's still fucking basically, it's literally just fucking rolling dice until you get the highest number. Like, and you do that five times before he fucking rolls higher than you five times. Like, it's like, oh, okay, this is the game. I actually like saw the screenshots of the scorpions fighting and like fucking like steam, whatever. I'm like, oh, that game is pretty cool. It's one of the things that sold me. And it's fucking in play. It's like, oh, it's just, you're just rolling dice. That's all you're doing. I mean, the animations of the scorpion fights are cool and all that. Don't get me wrong, but I'm such an unlucky cunt too that I had to play it about a dozen times before I fucking won a game that is like 50-50 odds of winning. Or the computer cheats. There's always a fucking possibility too with these fucking games. So, mini games, which is the most action you're going to get in the point-and-click style game, like Beautiful Desolation. So, one is rolling dice, and then there's another one which is more involved. And before you can even attempt to do it, there's an elaborate setup where you enter this ancient chamber that has a bunch of thrones in a circle around it. Kind of like the main hub there in Dark Souls 3, to squeeze that, just shoehorn that in there. We have to do it every week. And yeah, it tells you you need a sacrifice of blood and bone before you can enter the next room. And I don't remember the exact details of how you solve that one, but you do have to revisit a bunch of places you've already been and combine some random items in your inventory in an adventure game-like fashion. Then you go into like another chamber, and there's this slug creature there that's chained up. You can talk to when he goes over the rules of the game, and he tells you that you can ask him anything about the game that you're going to play, but the mini game there, but you can't ask him about anything else, or they're going to torture, starve, and beat him. And I tried to ask him other things, but I don't think you can. It's just funny. It's like, you ask about these three options, and it's like option 1, 2, 3. I think he said something like, oh, don't ask me about option 3. And it's like, all right, so it's like the first dialogue choices are option 1, option 2. And it's like, next, and then it's like, next is just like, quit or something like that. I don't know. Kind of weird, but yeah, so it gives you like this long, drawn-out explanation, and you have to like find a token from somewhere else to play. And it's like an arcade game you're playing, the way it's set up. It's just fucking, there's like a narrative callback where your brother was really into arcade games back in the real world, or when the game started, like in his fucking airplane hangar, he had like, you know, his own personal arcade. So he's the one that plays, and for not that it matters. I mean, it's when you're playing, it's just like a mini game. It's not like you have like character stats. Like the actual game is like an RPG, and one person is better. It's just like certain points you have to use certain characters. Like this, you have like that robotic dog that's following you around. You get to one point where it's like, you can't go through this fucking force field or something because your skin will fry. So you control the dog for a little bit to go and do his thing. But for this mini game, they give you like a list of characters, like AI combatants, and you line them up in a roster. Then switch like to a battle screen, and it plays out like a turn-based combat game, or like a turn-based RPG almost. You have three combatants, you know, your guys, like three of your guys on one side of the screen. And if you like move the cursor over them, they have like an armor rating and a hit point pool. And you select one of them and they have different attacks they can perform that will do a set number of, you know, it gives you like the stats for each attack that you can do. So it's, you know, here's like the range of damage if it hits, but there's also a 2-hit percentage as well. So now we're getting into nerdy fucking Dungeons and Dragons territory. If you want to do more powerful attacks, it'll cost more action points. And then, so you start off with like two or three, it's almost like Fallout. It's like the dots for your action points. And it's like, as you, each round they give you like two or three and you can like bank them, you know, you can like not do an action, not attack that turn. Then like, you know, the next turn you'll have six action points you can play with. So you can do like a more powerful attack. So yeah, you can do like weak attacks each turn or skip a turn. And yeah, I'll be honest, it's a little confusing how it's set up at first. You know, it seems simple enough. The first game of it, I just kind of like attacked, and I won somehow just doing like a bunch of weak attacks. But it goes on for multiple rounds where you'll, defeat like three people. It's like, all right, so those are the three people that I was facing first. You kill them, and then it's like, all right, well, here's the next round. You face another three, and then after that, there's a boss fight. And as you're playing, whatever combatants that you lose are gone for the rest of the game. I'd say there's not much. It just seems like, oh, well, I'm just gonna hit attack. Like, what else can I really do? It's not, hey, even with like all those stats, it's just all I can really do is here's three attacks per character, and you just pick one, and or you wait. Like the all you're really doing. like the first round or whatever, the first like game, the first like set of opponents I faced, I just fucked around. And I still won. And I really had no idea what was going on, but then, you know, it was like, all right, so I beat that thing wasn't too hard, but it keeps going. Like, you can do like more rounds, you come back and you don't really get anything for completing that either. But, once you go on to like the next game or whatever, with a different set of opponents, is whatever you want to call it, like a different like faction that you're facing the next level, I get my fucking ass kicked. And it didn't seem like there was anything I could really do. I was just fucking like, all right, well, I'm doing the same thing I was doing before, trying to attack, but my attacks aren't doing enough damage. And the other guys are just fucking raping me with like a fucking straight guy in Hollywood who crossed the gay mafia. So I couldn't get past the second round, quit out of it. Quit out of that little fucking arcade mini game and just went to do other things. I was just hoping like, well, I hope this isn't like a, fucking like required thing I have to do to get like an item or something to beat all this, because I'm just like stuck on the side. I just don't know what the fuck I'm doing wrong. So the layouts of the locations where I am now is starting to get more intricate. Yeah, you know, like first when you're first like exploring, when you first start off the game, you just have this overworld map with each place that you can visit is marked, and you can just, you're flying around the map in this ship called the Buffalo. On the overworld map, and you can fly it manually by clicking around like you would like moving your character. But there's also just like a list of locations on the side that you have access to. You can just pick from those and click on the button, and it automatically will fly you there. And I've yet to find. I was thinking like, well, those are. I was thinking in like Fallout terms of like fucking. Well, these are like the marked locations. But if I move myself and I explore around this fucking map, am I going to find more stuff? But I've yet to find anything like hidden or other fucking locations other than the ones that are there. Then you get access to this place called the Warden, which is like a warp zone that takes you to these other maps, like other overworld maps. You know, only like a few of them at first, and then you get a device that allows you to access these tears on the map. So you see like a little lightning bolt sign that says tear, and it's like, all right, well, now I have this thing here. It's like a something fucking tear ripper or whatever, and you fucking like use that on the fucking little lightning bolts on the map, and that takes you to like another overworld location. So Even though the game only consists of going, it's like all you're really doing is like, oh, I'm just gonna go to these different locations and run around and explore and fucking find items and all that. It makes everything exponentially more difficult or time consuming, at least. Where the more locations you have access to, and you can have to like go back and like revisit them, the more of that, like the harder the game is getting, in quotes, like harder. Like you're still just fucking doing the same thing. But I do like the game. I like beautiful desolation the more I play it. And it's kind of starting to make sense of like the weird world that they're going for. Still doesn't make a whole lot of sense, and I'm just fucking guessing that, guessing that's kind of like continue. I'm just kind of like guessing what I'm doing like half the time still, but that's okay. You know, that's what I get through most of my real life in general. Not really knowing what the fuck is going on, just kind of going with the flow. That's kind of the game in a nutshell. Yeah. Do you feel it though now? You're coming in the air tonight. Hold on. That was just asbestos, but I do have some woman's intuition that this gaming drought that we've been suffering through is going to come to an end very soon. Really, I think that the lack of new video games to play has been the worst thing to happen to the human race in the past month or so. But that's about to change. For the better, I don't know, we'll see. But Doom Eternal is right around the corner. I think 5 days. I think it comes out like Friday. Pre-order. I just fucking pre-ordered it. And I was fucking like, oh, when's Doom 64 come out? And it's like, I don't know. Silver, like, no, it might come out the same day as Doom Eternal, which kind of sucks. I should put it out like now. But I was just fucking like, oh, I fucking pre-ordered it and shit. I played Doom 64. I played not very long ago on an emulator, but. I'm not some fucking run-of-the-mill fucking scumbag. I'll buy it on Steam to support someone. I don't know, fucking Bethesda, I guess, at this point, or fucking ZeniMax or some shit. Who fucking cares? But Doom 64 is coming out officially for the first time on, like, any other console besides fucking Nintendo 64. And they also, there's a fucking like new chapter too. There's a fucking like a, after you beat the game, there's like a whole new chapter. So that's pretty fucking cool. I'm looking forward to that. Again, I got stuck in Doom 64 with some fucking stupid Switch puzzle. And I was just kind of like, I don't fucking know. I just kind of stopped playing, but the game's fucking cool. Neo 2 is out now, I believe. But I mean, it's the one I could play, but I really like to finish the first game before I played the sequel, not for like story reasons or anything, just to do it, to say I did it, you know what I mean, and beat it. And I actually liked the first Neo just fine. It was a good game. It just got kind of grindy and repetitive towards the end, so I stopped playing it. And then MLB The Show comes out next week too, so we're getting back there. The show would be a good one to get into, the long-awaited return of Johnny Dirtbag's illustrious career. We could get that going. Again, it's picking back up. I fucking read something about like, oh yeah, all the new consoles that are coming out, those might get delayed because of whatever AIDS or whatever the fuck people are worried about now. But this week, Ori and the Will of the Wisps came out. Finally, that's a game that was supposed to come out months ago, if not years ago, if I'm not mistaken. I thought it was supposed to come out like fucking quite a while ago, and it got fucking multiple delays. And, you know, then you just kind of completely forget about it. Then it's just fucking like, oh yeah, here it is. It's just out there. Nice surprise. I mean, very little fanfare. Just kind of saw it pop up on Steam or something. And just, I actually almost bought it on Steam. I was like, oh cool, that game's out, I'll buy it. Of course, you have to double check to make sure it's not in like early access or something. But no, it's like, oh, the game's actually out. Don't be a sucker and remember that it's a Microsoft published game. So if you have Xbox Game Pass, remember that you have Xbox Game Pass and take advantage of that. Ori and the Will of the Wisps is the sequel to Ori and the Blind Forest, which was an excellent Metroidvania game that had amazing, beautiful art and music and was really fucking difficult at times. I think they could have called this game Ori and the Beautiful Desolation, but I didn't want to get it confused with the other one there. So yeah, the sequel here, Ori and the Will of the Wisps, is the same basic premise. I mean, it's not changed too much. The core gameplay isn't changed too much. Still a 2D side scroller slash Metroidvania game. Still looks amazing. Music's great. Still some really challenging shit in there. I mean, I'm only like a few hours into it, 5 or 6 hours or so, and I've already come up against some sections that are pretty fucking brutal. Even Metroidvania, like those games, like that's not my favorite genre really, but I did really like the first Ori game. And what I've played so far of Will of the Wisps has been excellent. I've really enjoyed it. It took me a little bit to get back into it, like into that style of game. But yeah, once you like get into the groove of like, all right, I'm trying to like explore every corner and looking for secrets and shit like that. It does really suck you in. The only thing is I had about it, little quibble, is that it does take like a little while for it to get going, for it to get there to the point where you can like relax, like, okay, I get this. I remember doing this shit. I mean, they recap the story of the first game, which is good, you know, I guess, because I don't remember it. I like that first game. That was like, what, 5 years ago. I remember it being sad and making me cry like a bitch. And besides that, I mean, the details have long been sucked out of my shitty memory a long time ago and been filled with other garbage. So yeah, I mean, you're Ori, you're playing as the character Ori, you're a cat, a white fucking long-haired cat lemur type guy. You know, then it's like, oh yeah, he had that, there's that big guy that was his friend, and there's some creepy spider guy. I don't remember the creepy spider guy, but he's there. There's something about a baby owl or something. I remember the owl. I remember there being like a big fucking owl he had to fight, and then something about its kid or its baby or some shit. But it's just like a short cut scene that plays at the beginning. And again, it's like fucking, like, oh, this, the art's fucking fantastic in it. Music's fucking great. No problem with that. It's fucking like cool. Like it's like a, whatever, 4 or 5 minute fucking opening thing. Looks great. Fine. Well, I mean, there is one small problem, and there's always has to be something with anything Microsoft related. As I'm watching, even like the opening, like cutscene and shit, whenever there's this, like a screen change or whatever, a transition, it goes from like one scene to another, during even the cutscenes, sometimes randomly too, when you're playing the game. There's like this loud staticky buzzing noise, like this, you know, there's like a hot mic somebody's using or something, just fucking, you know, you're playing and fucking rant and fucking like just for like a split second, but it's fucking annoying, and it's the type of sound that a game would make before it crashed. So that just happens, and it's annoying, and I get fucking nervous every time that I hear that. But it hasn't crashed, like it's ran fine so far, but you know, you gotta be like, so far, like, you know, it's every time I fucking hear that, I'm still like, oh, the game's gonna fucking crash, you know what I mean? And then, you know, I'm okay with that opening cutscene, but it seems like very early on, like the start of the game, you're getting interrupted by dialogue and tutorials every like 5 minutes. There does seem to be like a lot more going on in Will of the Wisps than in the first game, where they have you talking to NPCs, you give you like side missions, then you'll find these combat challenges and like time trials, and you're collecting multiple forms of currency to buy access to like secret areas. You're buying like maps and abilities and upgrading those abilities. And if I remember, like the first game was just very like simple. But I'm not far into this one, and I can already tell it's more involved than just fucking uncovering the map, and then which would lead you to like gaining new abilities to uncover more of the map. I mean, that's pretty much what Metroidvania is. You know, if the NPC interaction lets up more as you progress into the game, that would be a good thing to, you know, be let free and fucking just play the game, rather than like, oh, I got a fucking, oh, here's another fucking owl guy, here's a motherfucking guy selling me fucking shit. I mean, it's not really that big of a deal right now, and the learning curve of the game has actually been really smooth, because they're It's just a little, you know, those fucking, they're stopping you to be like, all right, well, here's your new ability, and introducing one thing at a time and giving you plenty of time to play around with it before they throw something fucking new at you. But it is kind of like an old school game at heart, and I'd like to just get to the point where it's just like pure, uncut, uncircumcised fucking gameplay, you know, not just fucking every 2 feet, you know, fucking stopping and talking to fucking owls and that type of thing. So yeah, I mean, there's a big emphasis on combat, and yeah, the combat in the game's looser than you would expect. I mean, the platforming is so precise and like particular and tight, like the platforming part of the game. Then you have to fight shit. You have this, your main weapon is this sword that just kind of appears from nowhere when you use it. You hit like the X button. I think you can map it to any button, but, you know, I'm using X. You just kind of, when you're fighting with that sword, you're just kind of mashing X as fast as you can. That's all there really is to the combat. You can do like fucking like, you know, swipe up and swipe down or whatever, and, that type of thing, but mainly just kind of like timing it when it's safe to attack properly. And all, you know, the enemies have like patterns that you're watching for. So it's, you know, shit like there'll be some armored like rhino beetle thing that you have to lure, you know, it'll just kind of like charge at you. You have to like lure him towards a wall and let him like run at you. Then like you jump over him, get behind him, and he hits his head on the wall and he gets stunned. And that's like his weakness, and you can stab him in the ass. Fucking there's like mosquitoes that'll spin, like they'll spin up and fucking like dive bomb at you. You just gotta have to watch for them. Well, once they spin, you just fucking like dash out of the way and let them hit in the ground, and then they're stunned. You fucking like, you know, stab them and shit. Shit like that, you know. It's like the defensive angle of the combat requires timing, but once you do the thing, like whatever that we get behind them or whatever their weakness is, it's gonna like stun them. It's just fucking, you do like the arcade mashing. And it's just like the type of game it is. You just think there would be like combos or like special moves or something like that, but not really the case so far. It's just kind of like, here's your sword, hit X a bunch of times and hope your timing's right. Like that's about all you're fucking going for. But they do give you new platforming moves very quickly. Within an hour, it's like less than an hour, probably like half an hour, it's fucking like, all right, we start off, it's like, all right, I'm starting this fucking Metroidvania game, I have nothing, all I can really do is single jump, and fucking, then it's like, all right, well, here's your double jump, like right away, it's, you know, that was coming. You know, it's like, oh, you can climb on walls, you just go, and like one of the first special abilities you get is, rather than like hitting the jump over and over when you're on a wall to climb up, it's just fucking like one of the first special abilities you get is you just automatically just stick to walls. It's just fucking, you don't have to worry, we just fucking like sit there all day just like sitting there stuck to it. And you just like rebuild all the shit that you had from the first game really quickly, and they add even more shit on top of that fairly quickly. Like right now I just got something I can like dig through sand, you know, it's just all shit you see, you know, you see like fucking as you're going through the game, it's like, oh, there's a bunch of sand shit here, and I'll probably get that like really, you know, towards the end of the game, but you know, a couple hours later it's like, oh no, here's your thing to fucking dig through sand, you know what I mean? I don't know like exactly how much that's going to expand, like they might just give you pretty much everything quickly and then fucking let you just focus more on platforming rather than fucking like, oh yeah, you get something like hour 20 as you're playing, now go back to the beginning, you can find extra shit. It just seems like it's fucking, again, it seems like it's very, the pacing is like, well, I'll like give you like new shit, just very, it's quick. I like that. It's not, you know what I mean, I don't like the emphasis on the Metroidvania shit as far as like backtracking from the very end of the game to the beginning and fucking finding all this shit. It's fucking just kind of spaced it out a little bit more. That's what they seem to be doing. So yeah, I've also been using, I was using like the D-pad on the controller to play it, because I mean, that's what you usually want to do. That's what I always do when I'm playing a 2D game. You know, it's a fucking 2D platformer. But then they add this move where you can press the left bumper when an enemy fires a projectile at you. And it'll slow down time, and, you can like aim yourself where you want to, go like where you want to boost off of that. It's like, you know, you hit the left bumper, time slows down, like an arrow pops up, And you know, the projectile gets deflected one way and you get launched in the air the other way. So as soon as that came, that wasn't the first game too, but, yeah, I tried doing that with the D-pad. It's fucking like, all right, hit the left bumper, arrow pops up, trying to move the arrow with the D-pad, and you can't do it. But, you know, they just like don't let you do that with the D-pad for some reason. It only works with the analog stick. So I don't know if that's like a glitch, like, or they really just didn't want you to play the entire game with the analog stick, or I mean, they wanted you to play with the analog stick and not the D-pad, but. Why would they let you play? If that was the case, why would they let you play with the D-pad in the first place? And it's fucking, they didn't think about like, oh, this one, once you get this move, like you're going to have to switch. I was trying to do it like both ways for a while. I was just fucking, all right, D-pad moving. Whenever I have to fucking use that, you know, deflection ability, hit the left bumper and I'm like, all right, I'm just like fucking like all over the controller, switching back and forth, like D-pad, analog stick, like going crazy. Now I've kind of just fucking, like, oh, I guess I'll try to learn to play the entire game with the analog stick because it makes more sense with that, just that one move, but it's kind of weird. I don't know if that's like a glitch or just another case of Microsoft being Microsoft. I kind of wonder if like the Steam version's like that too, or it's fucking, they didn't think that out. So I'm playing through that. It's pretty good. Now, I've fucking hooked on Phonics. Kind of worked for me, but yeah, Ori and the Will of the Wisps, it's really good so far. You know, once you get going, like some of the environmental puzzles are already pretty crazy. I mean, there's just like an entire section of the map where you're going in and out of these doors that lead to like warps you to other parts of the map, and you're trying to find these gears that are clogged up with some kind of like infection or whatever. It's like these, you know, green fucking pustules, and you're trying to like clear those out to get like a water wheel going or something. It's just like this big involved fucking thing, and just like the scope and complexity of doing that would be a fucking confusing nightmare just about any other game. Like, fuck, once I like started playing, once I started going, like looking at the map, like looking at all the warps and shit, I was like, oh, this is going to suck. Like, it's going to be a fucking like complete headache trying to figure this out. But, you know, you're pulling levers that cause the entire level to fucking like rotate. Then you have to climb up to new areas that opened up because you pulled the lever. It's like, oh, here's another lever that fucking like rotates it like 90 degrees clockwise another way. And there's all these fucking like laser beams and shit that is fucking like getting blocked off. So you have like these more areas to go into. That would give me a fucking headache usually in other games, but yeah, Ori is so well designed, like all that shit just kind of like makes sense. It just like immediately like clicks of like, all right, well, I turn this, now I have to go up in this corner, and like, okay, no, now I'll go down here. And the platforming is like enjoyable enough on its own that you kind of want to see where you can get into, like where you can get to anyway, where you can jump up and fucking find little secrets and shit. So that's just like for the fun of it. Like the platforming itself is fun, you know what I mean? So that's kind of like the main thing. And then like all the other shit, like I might get like lost kind of, but that's fine. And you might find like a secret, and it's not that hard to find your way back. And there's been a couple times where I've been stuck in the game. And on the map, they kind of like show you exactly where your main objective is. There'll be like it's like a circle, like pulsing or something. And if it's off, if like an area of the map you haven't uncovered yet, at least you have like a general direction of like, oh, I got to go to the fucking like east or whatever. That's where they're sending me. So you're fucking exploring all over there until you find a way to go where you have to go. I've been where I'm supposed to be, where it's like, all right, this is like almost directly where this fucking waypoint is on the map. I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't figure out what I was supposed to do to like open a door or something like that. Then I'm like, I don't know, dude, I must be missing like an ability or something that I missed. So I fucking run off in the complete opposite direction just to like fuck around and just, you know, it's not like I gained any new abilities that I needed from it, but, you know, it's fucking, it's like, all right, well, I'll just go back. After a while, I'm like, I'm not really finding anything over here, so I'll go back to where I was stuck before. It's like, oh, okay, that was fucking easy. Like, once you, like, clear your, again, once you get more of a grasp on all your fucking, like, shit, what you can do, and, you know, changing up your fucking special abilities and all that. It's like, okay, no, I figured it out. It wasn't that fucking hard, and the way shit works, and, then it's easy like your mom, and as easy as sending an email to podcast@gruntfreepress.com. All you have to do is compose it, send the $9.99 processing fee plus the electronic mailing tax. And you got to pass the background check and credit history, and you're good. Then you can go to www.gruntfreepress.com and stay on that page for 4 to 6 weeks and await your results. I'm Absolute Deicide, and we made it happen here. Last week at the end of the show, we wished for the return of Chip Chipperson. And just hours ago, I got a notification from that little peck of sucker that he was live streaming. He's just on YouTube, just doing not like a podcast, but just like, I'm in the fucking house. And just fucking for like half an hour live stream. He did steal all of my good coronavirus jokes, the fucking sock cucker. What is it, like the beer or something? So, I don't know, maybe we should fucking wish for something else this week that'll really, really help people out. Like actually having a life or something, or fucking not thinking about the sweet embrace of death 5 times a day, or at the very least some good games to play and talk about on here. That would be a nice fucking change or something like that. I don't know. Whatever. I'm just going to go jerk off anyway. And that'll be that. And we'll just continue on with our lives as normal. That's all we can do in these trying times.
Herself wide open to let the insects in. She leaves a trail of honey to show me where she's been. She has the blood of reptile just underneath her skin. Seeds from a thousand others drip down from within.
Oh, my precious. Atticus.
And of course, Peter Murphy.